on page 8 in your notes, and we're at number 5 is where we pick up. We've been looking at this point, we're looking at Old Testament terms for unrighteousness, and so there are various representative terms of unrighteousness. Again, as I say, I don't particularly like these terms necessarily, but they are in Scripture, and they do tell us a lot about man. And in the Old Testament, there was a lot of unrighteousness, but don't get too proud, because there's a lot of unrighteousness in the New Testament as well. And so we'll be beginning with Rasha, and Rasha actually, and this is a term that deals with wickedness. And so let's look to the Lord. And Father, we're thankful again as we continue that it is your word that we're dealing with, and as you do reveal the things that relate to mankind, things that are unrighteous, we're thankful that today, because of the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit's baptizing ministry, that we are in, seen to be by you. You count us to be in Christ by imputation, and so that you see us there as being as righteous as he is, not because of what we are, but because of what he is and because we are in him. And so we're thankful for that as we do look at these terms dealing with many concepts of unrighteousness. And so again, let the Spirit give us clarity of thought and guide us. We look into your word. Amen. Now, Rasha, you have, I give a list in your notes, they're transliterated for you, but you have the noun, a masculine noun to start with. You have a feminine noun, the next term, Risha, and then you have Resha, and can't read the points anymore, but you have the adjective, you have a verb form, and so they all deal with wickedness, or to act wickedly, to be wicked, and so they all deal with wickedness. And so the adjective is translated wicked 251 times out of 262 times, and that's pretty accurate. The masculine noun is translated wickedness 25 times out of its 30 occurrences. The feminine noun wickedness is translated wickedness 14 times out of 15 occurrences. The verb is translated to do wickedly 17 times out of 34 occurrences. So the translators of the King James, they did recognize this term to have the notion of wickedness. And so somewhat this dealt with those who were wicked. Now we're going to begin in looking at wickedness, going back to Daniel chapter 9. And there we'll see that it's to sin is to do wickedly. And so those who sinned in the Old Testament, and you could say today that you're still doing wickedly when you sin, but it would be some, but in the Old Testament, this was their understanding that to sin was to do wickedly. And so we'll look at two verses here, verse 5, and then we'll drop down to verse 15. But it says, we have sinned, and so Daniel admits that we have sinned and have committed perversity. Now that goes back to that word awen that we noted last time, and that takes you back to the number 3 in the list that we've looked at. But perversity and have done wickedly, we've been caused to do wickedly. And so when they sinned, came out of their old nature, they did those things that came out that were perversity, and they have done wickedly and have belied even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. I'm not going to retranslate all of that because it takes me too long to, and my eyes aren't seeing good. So anyway, that's where we will, we see that to sin is to do wickedly down in verse 15 once more. And now, now when you see it, Lord with capitalized with small cases after that, it's Adonai, our Elohim. And so now, O Lord, our Elohim, that has brought thy people forth out from the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten a name, literally a name, as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. And so when they sinned, they did wickedly. And so it is, sin involves wickedness. Wickedness involves sin. It's wicked to sin. Now we're going to go back to Numbers to Korah. And the son of Korah contested with Moses and his authority and rebelled against the Lord and the one that he had appointed. So Numbers 16 and verse 26. But now the people are warned. And so Moses stands up and speaks, and he went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. But notice what he says. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. And so these men were wicked. And so Korah and his cohorts, Dathan and Abiram, you get away from their tents and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. And so they sinned as they went against Moses and if you stayed close to them, you see how they were destroyed. God created something new and the earth swallowed them up in verse 32. And then there were men with incense around and they were consumed by fire. So you have this destruction. They were consumed. So you don't want to be, you get away from them, because God was going to deal with them in a unique way at that time. But they were wicked men, and they sinned. Now, we'll go on over to 2 Samuel chapter 4, and there we find that murderers are wicked. And so we could come up with that understanding, but we do find reference to them as wicked. And so this is 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 11. Now, I'm just going to jump into the verse. How much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed? And so there would be some, when they came and said, Saul is dead, they thought it was good news. That wasn't something that impressed David, but he says, shall I not therefore now require his blood from your hand and take you away from the earth? And so the man who was responsible, his armor bearer who slew Saul, David had him, and he commanded his young men and they slew them and cut off their hands. And it was kind of a gory thing here, but he dealt with them. But they were wicked though, as they slew someone who was a righteous man in the context here. Now I didn't probably, so anyway, that's we'll have to drop that context. Now you move on to the wicked, are contrasted with the righteous. And this comes down to the term that is translated ungodly. And in Sunday school, even this last Sunday, we referred to the fact that there are no ungodly in the Old Testament, because to have ungodly, you had to have godly. And they didn't have those terms in the Old Testament. They didn't understand godly, and they didn't understand ungodly. And so that's something that was a mystery, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It was a great mystery. Godliness was, well, there were no godly, but those that are translated ungodly, where it's translated ungodly, it's usually this term, rasha, and so it deals with those who were ungodly. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed, literally, it just says, oh, the happiness is of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the, it says ungodly. Now, that's the way I learned it. as a young Sunday school boy, and it was the ungodly, but it was the wicked. Now, it's interesting. My Bible has a center column that says wicked, and that's the way it should be translated. And so walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of who? The sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so 1:1 you have translated ungodly, but it should be translated wicked. Verses 4, 5, and 6 are the same. Verse 4, the wicked, we should say, are not so. They don't do what will prosper, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Jehovah knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the, the righteous, they're contrasted with the righteous, but the wicked shall perish. And so they're they're the opposite of the righteous, in the Old Testament sense. And so but there were wicked, not ungodly in each of those. You also find ungodly used, it's translated ungodly, back in the book of Job, Job 16:11. In Job 16:11, it isn't the term that we have here for unrighteous, but this is a term for those who are unjust. And so it's a different term, but God, it says, that delivered me to the ungodly, shut me up unto the ungodly, is what it says. And but it's a different term. But when it says the ungodly here, it's the unjust. And so, and turn me over into the hands, though. Now we come to the wicked. And so now you come down to the term wicked at the end, and it is translated wicked. And so ungodly, it should be the unjust here. Now, also in Job 34:18, it's another reference where you have ungodly, and this actually is wicked again. Rasha, is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked? Now this one here is a different term. You're Belial, you're worthless. You're a worthless one, the first wicked. And to princes, you're ungodly, that is, you're wicked. And so the ungodly here is wicked. The word wicked is really like the sons of Belial, but you're worthless. You're worthless ones. And so that would be the concept there. And so again, though, they're wicked. Now, over in Psalm 3, we'll look at Psalm 3 and verse 7. He says, arise, O Jehovah, save me, O my Elohim, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the Rasha, the wicked, again. And so you have it there. And Psalm 73:12 is another place where you have the ungodly, the translation ungodly. And so 73:12, behold, these are the ungodly, that is the wicked, the ones, the prosperous of the age, not the word world here, but age, they increase in riches. But he's describing those who are wicked again by the term ungodly. And so the wicked, these are people who, they definitely were not like God, but they were wicked. And so we would translate it accordingly. Now, when we see something further, let's go back to Psalm 36 and verse 1. And there you have the wicked referred to the fact that they transgress. Psalm 36. And verse 11. Did I get the right verse?
One.
I can't see.
One. Psalm 1.
21.
36. Okay, right. You had it right. 36:1.
Well, 36:1. That's what I was looking at. Okay. But it says the transgression, and this is the word to it where you step across a boundary. You cross over a boundary. The transgression of the wicked, the Rasha, saith within his heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. And so he flatters himself and so forth. And he's crooked. Verse 2 uses the word, it's translated iniquity. Well, no, this is all in. And so he's perversity. And so you have perversity. In verse 4, you have vanity for mischief. And we'll probably be back to that verse when we get down there. But Proverbs 29:16 is the next reference. We'll look at Proverbs 29 and verse 16. And as we look at this, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. But notice the wicked, when they are multiplied, the transgression increaseth. So again, they step across the line by transgression. And when they transgress, in effect, they sin. And so that's where that ties in with sin in that way. Now the wicked have perversities, and that goes back to the relative relationship to their sin nature and to the acts of sin of kata, the first term. So terms 1 and 4, 3 are the terms that we see here dealing with their relationship to perversities and sins. Now, Proverbs, we're in Proverbs, so let's go back to Proverbs 5 and verse 22. Proverbs 5:22. Okay, his own perversity shall take the wicked himself. And he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And so you have three unrighteous terms in verse 22. And so that's looking at his perversity and his sin going together. He's a wicked man, though, who does so. Now in 10:16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. And so what the wicked man produces, it goes to sin. It's he sins, and so he does sin by his wickedness. Now I think we'll look at let's skip over Psalm 141:4, Isaiah 13:11, and we'll look at just two more out of this list. The wicked have perversities and sin. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3. In Ezekiel chapter 3, we'll notice again the perversity and the sin of man, but 3:19 will give us some of that. You have a bunch of unrighteous terms. Yet if thou warn the wicked, the Rasha, and he turn not from his Rasha, from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, so three times you have forms of Rasha, he shall die in his perversity. And so that's all when, again, he'll die in his perversity, but thou hast delivered thy soul, your life. And so, the wicked, that's what's going to happen to him. And so he'll die in his perversity. So it connects again there. The next reference we'll skip on over. We looked at Ezekiel 18 with quite a few verses with, I don't recall exactly how many terms for unrighteousness we counted there, but there were a bunch of them. And it's a passage dealing with unrighteousness. But let's go back to Jeremiah and chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 20. And here Jeremiah speaks of the people. He says, "We acknowledge, O Jehovah, our wickedness." And so there is wickedness and the perversity of our fathers. And so their fathers, they were afflicted by their sin nature, the perverseness of their nature, for we have sinned against thee. And so there you have the three terms again used together. And so this was where they were. This was the wicked, though. They were perverse, and they sinned. Their fathers were perverse, but they sinned just as their fathers would have and did. Now, we want to move on to G, the work of the wicked is deceitful. And that's something that's quite understandable. And so the wicked, he's deceitful, and that's Proverbs 11. And verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. And so, see, they do deceive. They're deceitful. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. But the wicked, he's doing dishonest. He's deceitful in what he does. And so there are thoughts also in chapter 12 and verse 5. 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And so there you have, again, they're deceitful. And so not a, there's, wickedness was not a nice term, still isn't, but it wasn't then either. And so it wasn't good. They desired the calamity of their neighbor in Proverbs, again, 21 and verse 10, 21:10. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. And so this is the term Ra, number two that we looked at, Ra. But his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. In other words, he doesn't favor his neighbor. He wishes calamity on his neighbor, essentially. And so his ways are evil. Back over to Ezekiel again. In Ezekiel 33:11. So wicked, the wicked, there's a lot to be said that is said about the wicked in the Old Testament. 33:11, say unto them, as I live, saith the, now this is Adonai Jehovah, is how it would read. If we were transliterating, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your raw, again, your evil, what your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? But the plea for them to turn from their wicked ways, but they're wicked. The wicked in their wicked ways, but they're evil. Their ways are evil, we can say. Now, the next term that we come to in number six is a when, and that's a noun, but it's a word for trouble or vanity, affliction. It's translated iniquity 47 times, and that's why we say when you come to iniquity, it doesn't mean anything because it could be any number of words that are unrighteous. It is a term describing unrighteousness, but there are many other terms. But this is just one of many terms that translates, that are translated, iniquity. It's translated vanity 7 times, wickedness 7 times, and so forth out of 78 occurrences. And so 19 times, though, it says, speaks of workers of iniquity. And so these are, those who are vain workers or trouble, and it's translated the works of 4 times. And so it is connected to trouble. The AV translates it perverseness, and it goes back to their, relates to their mischievousness. But let's go back to Numbers 23 and verse 21. Numbers 23 in verse 21. And you have the term right at, it's translated iniquity right here. He hath not beheld trouble, affliction in Jacob, neither hath he seen. Now you have trouble again, perverseness. And so you have, let me just check this and make sure. So you have it twice here, trouble in Israel. Jehovah is his God, his Elohim is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. But here you have again, he has not beheld this trouble concept, the affliction in Jacob, neither hath he seen trouble in Israel. And so kind of a repetition there, right, with the different titles. But he does, but it is trouble. Perverseness is really trouble, affliction. Now we move to the workers of iniquity. We'll look at a couple of references there at least, but going back to Job and Job 34. Now Job wrote before the law, but there was still a lot of perversity around and wickedness and you have trouble, affliction. And so, we're looking at, 34, verses 8 and 22. And this is Eli who still is speaking, and he says in verse 7, what man is like Job who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of vanity or trouble, and walketh with the rasha, the wicked, wicked men. And so that's, again, you find those terms together down in verse 22. There is no darkness or darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of, again, vanity or trouble, may hide themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they hide themselves. This is, again, a term that's not a good term, but they're trouble, they're, vanity. There's nothing, nothing of consequence of good. We'll just say nothing good about what they do. It's all kind of a lot of emptiness. Moving on over to Psalm 94 and verse 4. Yeah, we said there were quite a few of these workers of iniquity. But he says here, how long? It's an ellipsis here, but it'd be how long until when shall they utter and speak hard things is arrogancy, and all the workers of and this is again vanity or trouble, they work trouble, boast themselves, they break or they crush in pieces thy people, O Jehovah, and afflict thine heritage, and goes on to describe these there. But they are workers of affliction, trouble, and there's nothing really good as to what they do. There's no, it's vanity, essentially. Now we move on to it, the fact that it goes together with mischief and falsehood, back in Psalm 7 and verse 14. Psalm 7, verse 14. There we go. Psalm 7. Okay, he says, behold, he travaileth with, and this is going to be a wind, that is, he, this a wind, but it's a vanity in this spelling. And so vanity or trouble, he travaileth with trouble or affliction, vanity, and hath conceived mischief. And so this is another term for trouble, and this is going to be number 8 on the list that we look at. We haven't got there, but this is trouble or mischief, and brought forth falsehood. And so you kind of see how he did it when he made a pit. He hath digged a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and so forth. So it's kind of like you put down a banana peel in front of the pit and he stepped on it and slipped in himself. So that's this term again of affliction and so forth. Now, the next place we want to go, you have the words of iniquity and deceit, Psalm 36 and verse 3. Psalm 36 and verse 3. Again, you see these terms all surrounding here. We have transgression. We've seen this already. We see a perversity in verse 2, but the words of his mouth are, it says, they're vanity, they're empty, but they really are trouble and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good, and so he deviseth mischief. That is, again, it's a vanity upon his bed and so forth. We'll move on down in the chapter. We'll move down to, well, we've already picked up verse 4, but it has to do, they have words of trouble, affliction, but they really are words of vanity and emptiness. They really are harmful words. And then we speak vanity over in Micah 2, verse 1. And also we could look up Isaiah 58:9 and Zechariah 10:2. That's where they speak vanity, that they are full of mischief as well. So those give you some of the notion of this term which is a trouble, vanity, and affliction. Now the heart may devise wicked, that is vain imaginations. This will take us over to Proverbs to see what's within the heart, within the inner man, and what it can come up with. So we go to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 18. An heart that deviseth wicked, that is vain vanity, vain imaginations, or just be vanity, feet that be swift in running to mischief. And so this comes up in the heart of men who would do these sorts of things. But you have quite a description in the context, but we won't go through the whole thing. But they do bear false witness that speak of lies, and so discord among brethren. And so you have some descriptions there of this concept of unrighteousness. And so it is all dealing with unrighteousness, but it comes from the heart of man that he does these, that he comes up with these empty, troublesome, afflicting things that he does. And so that's the term of when, number 6. Number 7, we move on to asham. In the noun, a masculine noun, you have ashim, an adjective, you have asham, a verb. And this is a word that will be translated trespass, offense, but it looks at guilt, too. When there's a trespass, that did bring guilt. And so it's translated a trespass offering. They would offer a trespass offering for sins. And you see this quite frequently back in Leviticus chapter 5. We have 34 times out of 44 occurrences of this term. You have it. But I jumped ahead. Before I get to Leviticus 5, let's go back to guiltiness in Genesis 26:10. Otherwise, we'll forget. So go back to Genesis 26 and verse 10. And this was when Abraham tried to pass over. No, this was Isaac. This did what his father Abraham did, tried to pass off his wife as his sister, and because he was afraid they might kill him for her. And so when we come to verse 10, and Abimelech, whether it's Abimelech or but he's a king, he said, "What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." And so he might have brought asham upon us. You might have brought guiltiness upon us. And so that would have been, but that is the, it would have been a trespass, an offense. It would have been an offense, but it would bring guilt with it. And so guiltiness is probably not too bad of a way to translate it. Now moving on over to Leviticus 5, we will go through some of these verses where it deals with a trespass offering. It's translated dealing with it was for an offense. When you did something that was offensive to God, you brought an offering, and you did it for sins. Sins were offensive to God, and so this would be a trespass, but they also brought guilt when they did a trespass. So 5:7 is where we'll begin. And, well, we could begin in verse 6. "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Jehovah for his sin." And so this is for, was for guilt. You were guilty, you would bring an offering unto Jehovah for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And a priest shall make an atonement, that is a covering for him concerning his sin. And it goes on, if he be not able to bring a lamb, if he can't reach out and find a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons unto Jehovah, for one for a sin offering. And so there it is, a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. But these were things that they were dealing with the offering, dealt with the guilt that they had for trespassing. And so they were offensive, had offended God. We'll just drop on down. We could pick through a lot of Leviticus, but down to verse 15. And so Jehovah spake to Moses, saying in verse 14, if an individual, and soul here is not looking just at his emotional immaterial makeup, is looking at an individual here, if an individual trespass, that is, if he commit a trespass and sin through ignorance, in the holy things belonging to the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto Jehovah. So he's to bring here a trespass, and this would be his trespass, an offering for his trespass, though, a ram without blemish out of the flock, and so forth. And so he's to do that. It would make a covering for him in verse 16. And so this was something in the Old Testament that could sin that was of ignorance. It was unintentional. This would have been something you didn't plan to do. You accidentally did something that would be sin, then you could bring an offering for it. But that's something that was for them. But we don't do that today. We don't sin out of ignorance today. So that was something limited back to that time. Verses 18 and 19, it says, yet he is guilty at the end of verse 17. He didn't know about it, but he was guilty and shall bear his perversity, and he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock in thy estimation for a trespass offering. So there it is, the trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make a covering. It's what an atonement is for him concerning his ignorance. That is his unintentional wrong, which he unintentionally committed. When it says he erred, he didn't intend to do it, but he did it unintentionally. And he didn't know it. Then it shall be forgiven him. If a trespass offering, it is a trespass offering, he hath certainly trespassed against Jehovah. And so there were ways that they could trespass by doing something without, it was ignorant, and they didn't realize they did it. And so they were held accountable for it. It brought guilt. And so that's your trespass concept here with the trespass offering. Now it is used with the term sin. You have it 6 times out of the 44 occurrences that we will look at, and we won't look at all of those. But Leviticus 19 and verse 22. Leviticus 19 verse 22. And the priest shall make a covering for him with the ram of the trespass offering before Jehovah for his sin, which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. So this is a sin that he's done, and he knows what he's done, and this is in a context here, dealing with things that took place, mingling different seeds and different garments, and dealing with those who were engaged to be married and so forth. You have different things that they required a trespass offering. Mm-hmm. And so the trespass brought guilt and did require sacrifice. And so it does bear the concept of being guilty. And we have looked at Leviticus 5, but let's go back and we'll look at Leviticus 4, verses 13 and 27. And if the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, so now the whole kit and caboodle of them might do something through ignorance, and the thing is hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of Jehovah concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty. And so it just says that they are guilty. That's the term here. Carries the idea of guilt, though they've trespassed, and it brings guilt with it. Down in verse 27, you have something similar again. And if any any individual of the common people, that is the people of the land, sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of Jehovah concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty. And so this comes from this Asham term again. He's guilty. It brings guilt with it. And so it's a result of sin, though. Over in chapter 6 and verse 4, this deals with various things. You bear false witness against somebody, you sin in verse 3, then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty. And so once more, he's guilty. He shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. And so it brought guilt, though. And so sin, he sinned, and it brought guilt. The concept, he trespassed, he committed an offense, but he was guilty. And so 13 times out of 32 occurrences of this form are applied to such guilt, that brings guilt with it in that sense. 7 times it's translated destroy, it's occurred 6 times during my page. But they bear their guilt. And so that's the Asham term. Number 8 is Amal, and it's to labor mischief or trouble. And so you find, again, another troubling term. You labor, there's deceitful, there's mischief. This is mischievousness. And let's go over to Job chapter 4 again. Job 4. And verse 8. And Job 4, verse 8. This is Eliphaz speaking here, but he says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And so the first word here is they plow perversity, so, and they shall sow trouble, really, amal. And so they will, this is the term we're looking at, but it will be trouble. And so wickedness here is really the word trouble. They'll reap the same. So they sow trouble, you're going to get trouble. And so that's what Eliphaz says concerning reasoning with Job. Now you have travail. It travails with vanity and conceived trouble. Let's go to Psalm 7 and verse 4. Psalm 7 verse 4. And
14,
yeah. Psalm 7 and verse 14. Behold, he travaileth with, and you have iniquity, it says, and so this is perversity, I believe, and hath conceived mischief. And so here's the word trouble. This is our term that we're looking at here, trouble, and brought forth falsehood. And we were in this context earlier where he dug a pit. But this mischief fell into the pit. But you have vanity, and it was vanity and conceived trouble, mischief. The AV says, now God does not look favorably on trouble, translated iniquity. And so this takes us back to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, and so you have to go to Nahum, Habakkuk, Mike, Zephaniah to get there, but anyway, Habakkuk 1:13, he says, thou art of purer eyes, cleaner eyes than to behold Ra, that is evils. And so that goes back up to our second term. And canst not look on, it says, iniquity. And this is the term for trouble. And so this is our term, amal, a trouble. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously? Another term that we'll get to later on. And so this is going to be begad, but it's, comes down number 14 when we get there. And holdest thy tongue when the wicked, the Rasha, which we've already looked at, verse number 5, devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. And so just to watch this kind of a man, but you can't look on trouble, he says. And so this is a mal trouble. So those are, that's the term amal, trouble. Ma'al, or ma'al, get the word right, ma'al, or ma'al, to be treacherous, unfaithful. It's something that's done in covertly by stealth. It's unfaithful, treacherous. It's translated trespass 23 times out of its 35 occurrences, transgress and so forth 12 times. So, but it is, it's translated to commit a trespass back in Leviticus 5:15, but it goes on to sin and ignorance. This is treachery. And so we would say it's something that was treacherous that was done back there, though. And it is a trespass, which was asham, to do so back in Leviticus 5:15. I'm moving through this one a little quicker. The Jews trespassed against God. That is, they did treacherously against God. This is Leviticus 26:40 and Numbers 5:6. Let's go on over to Ezekiel 39 and verse 26. Ezekiel 39 verse 26. And again, this is a treacherous and something that you do kind of sneaky, but it's treacherous behavior. 39:26, after that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, that is the things that they have done treacherously, whereby they have trespassed, they've done treacherously against me when they dwelt safely in their land and none made them afraid. So it goes back into the behavior of Israel when they were brought into the land, and yet they did treacherously as they came into the land. We'll go back to Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 13 also. Ezekiel 14 and verse 13. And so the word of Jehovah was again to me, Ezekiel says, son of man, when the land sinneth against me, and cause to trespass grievously, that is, they've done treacherously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. But they do that which is, they behave treacherously. They kind of do it sneaky, but they did things when it came down to their idolatry and what they did in the land. God would bring them famine. And so that's Mahal. We move on to Awel. But Awel is, and you have the verb, and then you have a feminine or masculine noun first on Awel. So that's what it is. And this term has the idea to distort, to turn away from, to pervert, to perform, not pervert, to perform injustice. And it's used of violent deeds of injustice. And so this is just looking at some deeds that are done out of injustice. They're not right. They're not fair. And so 36 times out of 53 occurrences is translated iniquity, another one of those terms. It's translated wicked 9 times and unjust 3 times. You can do a lot more with unjust. And so we'll go to Zephaniah. Chapter 3 and verse 5. And so, Zephaniah chapter 3. If you got to Habakkuk before, you can get to Zephaniah right after. But 3:5. But he says, the righteous Jehovah is in the midst thereof. And so, looking at the city, and so he says, he's in the midst thereof. He will not do, he won't do wrong. And so this is but he won't do wrong. Every morning, morning by morning, doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. And so now you come to, but the unjust, this is the guy that we're looking at, the unjust. He's the one who's crooked. He's distorted. We could just say he's crooked and knoweth no shame. And so the crooked, they do no shame. They know no shame. And so that's, again, very unrighteous concepts, though, as we look at it. The next one is the unjust use of, well, we won't go to Psalm 82:2. We looked at verse 1 earlier. And we looked at the judges there. That was in bibliology, but in verse 2 it speaks of, it's used of unjust judgment. And so the judges of Israel, they were unjust in their judgment. And so they were crooked, distorted in what they did. Now, the next term, number 11, Mishabah, is turn back, return. it's a falling away, this would be the idea of backsliding. And we will go back to Jeremiah to see this, Jeremiah 3:8. But these are all Old Testament concepts of unrighteousness. And they're not right today either when someone behaves this way. We don't do a sin of ignorance, but most of the rest of these, the terms could apply to mankind today in their depraved state. 3:8 says, and I saw when for the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but also played the harlot. Over in chapter 8, we come to 8:5. And why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. You see, they were backsliding. And so they slid back from where they were. They kept going back into idolatry. And they just, it was an ongoing thing. We don't have backsliding today, but you can certainly have a carnality that can lead to sin. Number 12 is Shagag. To start the first one, Shagag. And then Shagag is the feminine noun, and Shagag is the is to go astray, to sin ignorantly, inadvertently. This is the sin of error that could be committed through inadvertent. You didn't plan to do it. And this was only true under law. We've looked at this term. We saw it back in Leviticus chapters 4 and 5. And this is, you can kind of see this where you made the blind wander out of the way. He didn't intend to go there. Deuteronomy 27:18. 13. He willeth is a feminine noun. It's foolishness, folly. And it's translated foolishness 10 times out of 25 occurrences in the AV. Folly 13 times. So they do get the idea of something of one who's a fool. Doing foolishly, though. It's connected to trespasses in Psalm 69:5. I'm going to move through these a little faster here. They don't occur frequently. You have, it's the descriptive described, you have the description of the speech of fools in Proverbs 15:2-14. Such a man perverts his way in Proverbs 19:3. But he's a fool. And so it deals with fools, one, those who are foolish. Now we come to Bagav, and Bagav is to act or deal treacherously, similar to we had a treacherous above. But this is 28 times out of 46 occurrences is translated transgression, and etc. So you have in different ways 13 other times. But it deals with the, this is not so much this, this is one who brings treachery with him, not so much the sneaky kind of a unfaithful coming in by stealth necessarily concept that we saw up under 9, but this is it does deal with someone who's treacherous. Isaiah 21:2 and 24:16 and 33:11, you have a treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously. And it's connected with being a transgressor, number 3, and so in Isaiah 48:8, you have the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah were behaving treacherously against Jehovah. And you have that in, this was not something uncommon for Israel. To behave in this way. And what I'm trying to do, and I'm not going to quite make it, is get out of the Old Testament.
I have two more.
I have two more. You have awa, which is to bend, to curve, to twist, to distort, to act perversely, to pervert, to make crooked. And so this is, you make something crooked. We've had the term crooked up above with I think it was number 10. I can't quite make out where we were, but anyway, that it's crooked. And so it's translated perversity 5 times out of 16 times, iniquity 4 times. But it says that David sinned and had done wickedly. He twisted things around when he had done in 2 Samuel 24:17, and 1 Kings, you have some in 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Job, Psalms, and so forth. It's used of idolatry, where they did crookedness, they did perverse, they twisted things around when they were idolatrous. And then we come down to the last term, and I did want to get through these anyway. Sorry. You have toiba, the noun abomination, something that's abominable or disgusting. And so there are some things that were disgusting to Jehovah, and oftentimes it's used of idolatry, which was abomination. It was an abomination to Jehovah, but it was often used of idolatry as being an abomination. It was something disgusting, but an abomination to Jehovah. And so I apologize for moving through the last of that quickly, I want to move on to developing other things. This just gives you an overview of some of the terms for unrighteousness in the Old Testament. And next time we'll be into the New Testament. We'll probably move fairly quickly with some of these terms. But we want to get down to where sin came from and the development of some of the issues with sin and unrighteousness as it relates to us and to mankind in general. So we'll have to stop at that point, though. And let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful again for your word, for the time we've been able to spend looking at it, even though we've moved through verses dealing with particular words of unrighteousness. Yet we, as we see these things, we realize that man is depraved, and that as human beings we are depraved. And yet we're thankful again for your provision of salvation of those who are the depraved race of mankind. And yet through your Son, as he came to be flesh, without a sin nature though, and tended amongst us as he was here on earth, he accomplished his cross work for us as he died for our sins. And when he died for our sins, we're grateful that he arose again. And he's living today, and he's borne those sins and taken care of them once for all. And yet as we live from day to day, we do unrighteous activity, including sin. And yet when we do sin, we're thankful for the provision that we can come to you and confess that sin to you, that you are faithful, that you're righteous, to not only forgive the sin, but also to cleanse us from all the other unrighteousness that would lead up to it that weren't acts of sin. And so we're thankful for that provision under grace today. As we move into the rest of the evening, we're thankful for the time today that you've given us. And as we move on, might we have rest and be rested for tomorrow and the rest of the week, that we might accomplish those things that you have for us. We'd also think of Kathy Hill this evening, that she might get relief from the pain from surgery, and that she might be able to get back on her feet and be better. And we would be grateful for that. Also, I'd just like to think of my niece and her concerns about her boyfriend this evening, and that you might give them comfort and peace of heart, and that you might accomplish your will and your way to your glory, and we'd be grateful. Amen.